Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Behind of the count, 0-2. Skubal works quickly, and he strikes him out.
Oh, my goodness. A pitch he never throws.
Good stuff, Tricia. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Skubal.
Her hip is already pulled out. There's no way.
Yeah, I was extremely happy to, when you know, once that hire came out, I was extremely happy just because of the success. And the organization that he turned around in Houston was very similar to ours. And, you know, he's kind of turned around our organization in a way too. You know, we had a kind of a down year in 22 with a ton of injuries, but you know, I was very, very happy with it. And the pitching side, you know, him being a catcher, he really understands, you know, pitching, especially starting pitching. You know, for me, I can speak on this, just the thoughts, you know, we'll talk in game. I'll ask him, you know, what the plan is, you know, later in an outing, you know, when my last hitter is or what he's thinking here. So that way I can kind of empty the tank and let him, you know, I'm always trying to make his decision hard to not come get me, you know, so.
You heard some highlights courtesy of FanDuel Sports of Tarek Skubal, who the Orioles will be facing on Thursday in the series finale against the Tigers. And then you heard from the man himself, Tarek Skubal, talking about his manager, AJ Hinch. And Jason, you've been saying for weeks now, we're heading into May. Okay, easiest schedule in baseball. This is the time to make the hay.
Well, I didn't buy that
Well, not that's what we were saying. And then the Orioles ended up not having a great May. And you say, well, wait till June comes. And now the Tigers come to town with the best record in all of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting listening to Skubal there. I think the Tigers are who the Orioles pretended to be, wanted to be, fetishized they would be. Now, the Tigers have done it differently. Tigers invested heavily in pitching resources in the draft. And certainly have spent more money on it than the Orioles have. Some of that predated this regime. This regime continued some of that. Now, that doesn't include Tarek Skubal. He wasn't a bonus baby draft pick. That's just good development and evaluation. But they have done their rebuild a little differently than the Orioles. But, like, they're 1-1. Torkelson had to go back down to the minors, and now he's emerged as a legitimate power hitter. They have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. They didn't just stick with a starter manager, right? Brandon Hyde was a starter manager. He's the guy to get you through the dog early, ugly days of a rebuild where you're not sure who can play and who can't. You're going to be pretty fundamentally unsound. Unfortunately, that's the Elias way, so that continues to now. You're going to lose a lot of games. You're going to take it on the chin. You need a rah-rah guy. Then most organizations, when it's time to get real, they get real about the decision makers, and then they go and get somebody like AJ Hinch, who's been a winner elsewhere, who knows what it is to be a playoff tactician. He already had that in his resume before he got to Detroit. Part of the reason I love the Tigers so much in the betting markets this year is because of AJ Hinch, and because I felt like he's the kind of baseball man who can take the gains they made last year and have it carry over. I figured this bullpen out. We got bullpen chaos. You're still going to have to deal with that. We've got legitimate starting pitching. Oh, and this Jackson Jobe kid's going to be pretty good. And the Riley Green is a legitimate foundational piece. Like, Carpenter, they don't let him play against lefties and righties, but when they let him play, he mashes. They do situationally hit. They are incredibly fundamentally sound. They don't beat themselves on the base paths. They don't beat themselves in the field. Like, they are, they execute. They, like, you heard the Scooble, the ace, talk about, I talked to my manager in games about what we can do to strategize. You think that's happening here with Manzolino? You're out of your mind. He barely can. He barely knows what to say before and after a baseball game. He doesn't even know when they should have batting practice or not. Like, that's. I'm just telling you, the divide between this franchise and that franchise is massive. Oh, by the way, their farm system is still killing it. This farm system's garbage. It's a below mine. This is a bottom 10 farm system in baseball. Maybe bottom six. Maybe bottom five. Tigers, they got real, true elite talent pipeline still coming. Orioles just sent the second overall pick back to Norfolk. So you tell me what franchise knows how to do a rebuild, and you tell me which franchise is run by a phony GM.
And it's really unbelievable to think that this Tigers team is here where they are today, which is the best winning percentage in baseball, where they were sellers at the deadline last year, end of July, and then they ended up going on a crazy run to make the playoffs, and they made some noise in the playoffs. And it's such a well-rounded team, Jason, where really good offense, really good starting staff, really good bullpen, and I'm nitpicking here. They don't run at all. They're dead last in stolen bases. But did you think they'd be this good? You were on them prior to the season when we were picking division winners, and you were on the Tigers to win the Central, but best record in baseball.
No, I didn't think it'd be best record in baseball. I thought they'd shatter their win total. I thought they'd run away with the division, and I honestly felt like they'd be pushing maybe the Rangers. Like, I thought the Rangers were going to be really good. Totally off on that. But, like, did I think the Tigers could be better than the Yankees? I did. I thought the Rangers might be a juggernaut. And so I didn't, frankly, play a lot of props on Tigers to win the American League because I thought the Central is a better division than most people think. So that's going to take a toll. And I thought the West would be soft, and I thought the Rangers might win a lot of games in the division. But they're no slouches, and they have a true winning culture, and they've been able to reset young players. They don't get caught up in where you were drafted. They don't get caught up in coddling people and giving them a birthright to bat second every night. They don't get caught up in analytics. They clearly know how to manage people, as individuals who have their own makeup and their own buttons that can or can't be pushed. They understand that these are human beings. And I just think you look at the Torkelson thing. I mean, that's pretty amazing. That's a real feather in their cap. A year ago, that kid wasn't hitting in AAA. Looked like he might be lost. And they brought him back to the fold. And he's now a legitimate thumper for them. And they've done well at the deadline. And they'll probably do well at the deadline again. Even look at Flaherty there versus Flaherty here. And you tell me who knows what they're doing. You tell me who the phonies are.
Orioles Tigers game one of a 3-game series tonight at 6:35 at Camden Yards. So that means we're done a little early. Baltimore baseball tonight, immediately following us at 5:30. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, they're going to be live at Pickles Pub. We're going to preview the series with Cody Stavenhagen, who covers the Tigers for The Athletic. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT coverage. He'll join us at 3, and our buddy from Foul Territory, Scott Braun, is on with us at 4:15.
Yeah, another big show. We will have sound for you from OTAs as soon as they finish up in Owings Mills. We expect to hear from A-Fraud 2.0, Aaron Rodgers, the newest Pittsburgh Steeler. He's talking today.
A lot going on in Pittsburgh,
yes,
Jason.
Yeah. They got the Watt situation. We'll touch on some of that in Northern Exposure. And, what is going on with Gunnar Henderson and 17 runs batted in on the season? What do we think that's all about? Taylor Walls, who can barely hit 200 for Tampa Bay, their shortstop, who's all glove, no bat, he's got one fewer run driven in this season than Gunnar Henderson. How's that possible?
And you can go back about 120 games and look at Gunnar Henderson's numbers, and it's not that they're bad, but they're not superstar Gunnar Henderson type numbers. We're going to get into Gunnar on the other side, as well as Jason alluding to the fact a couple of roster moves have been announced. some injured Orioles coming and some guys on the 26-man roster, they are going. We will let you know the moves.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Next. Those are some Gunnar Henderson defensive lowlights, courtesy of FS1 and NBC Sports California. But before we get into Gunnar Henderson, pretty much prior to the show, the Orioles announced several roster moves. Cedric Mullins and Jordan Westberg, they have been reinstated from the 10-day IL. The corresponding moves, Heston Kerstad, option to AAA Norfolk. They have DFA'd Emmanuel Rivera. And Jordan Adams has cleared outright waivers and has been assigned to AAA.
Yeah, we've talked quite a bit about Heston Kerstad the last 2 weeks because we figured he was on borrowed time. Even with all the injuries and the opportunity here, he cannot play the outfield. You cannot put him in the outfield if you're a serious organization at the major league level. And guess what? Even if he's down there for 6 weeks, he ain't going to come back up here a major league outfielder. So they need to have a plan for him. And if they're serious about him here, then he needs to be given an opportunity to DH on a regular basis, or they need to trade him before he's ever back up here again. But, you know, they never have a sense of urgency. They don't take things seriously. The things will sort themselves out. That's their sort of blasé, laissez-faire attitude to player development, and it keeps biting them in the ass. Paul Bunyan, I imagine, is right around the corner there, Tyler O'Neill. So we'll see what that means for Cody Mayo, if anything, or does that mean Dylan Carlson goes down, or what do they do? Because if they're going to persist on putting Jorge Mateo in the outfield occasionally, then – as well as Dylan Carlson has played lately, this second stint, he might be the guy going down. But they look, that's a second overall pick who they've been able to, who was supposed to have an advanced college bat, who myocarditis or not, he's been playing full season professional baseball for 3 years now, and they still can't they haven't taught him to catch a pop up. It's pretty shameful.
Moving on to another young dude, and we use the term aircraft carrier when it comes to Gunnar Henderson, and that is exactly what he was in the first half of last year. First 95 games of the 2024 season, Gunnar Henderson hit 28 home runs, 63 RBIs. He had 14 stolen bases. 373 on base, 956 OPS. And then immediately following the All-Star break, that's when the power went down some. And I went on Fangraphs and went from that point on, July 19th to present day. That's 121 games, so a strong sample size there. 17 home runs, 46 RBIs, and his OPS is 782. Now, those aren't bad numbers at all. I'm not saying that Gunnar Henderson has been a bad baseball player, far from it, but he just hasn't been close to that guy that we've seen in the first 93 games of 2024 and really 2023.
Yeah, look, I'm concerned about the defense. I think if you had a real GM in here who wasn't emotionally invested in trying to make, you know, themselves look good through their draft picks, that they would get serious about moving him to third base. And what that means for the rest of your infield, it means for the rest of your infield. Like, is Jordan Westberg a first baseman? Like, I think he could be, and I don't think you're sacrificing a whole lot of defense. I know that Jackson Holliday is not a shortstop, but I would not mess with him anymore, and I would leave him at second base. But I do think that Gunnar Henderson's defense is something that we're going to be talking about probably a lot in the second half of the season, because I don't think it's trending in the right direction. What caught my attention the most is how we're sitting here going in the middle of June and he's got 17 runs batted in. Like, Taylor Walls has 16 runs batted in. Josh Smith with the Rangers, who's there just for his glove, has 16 runs batted in. How does Gunnar have one more RBI than Taylor Walls? Well, maybe it's because Gunnar's seventh on the Orioles in plate appearances with runners in scoring position. I'm going to repeat that. He's seventh on this team in plate appearances with runners in scoring position.
Batting third.
And we know that they're beholden to Adley in the two hole, which has been a black hole for the most part, so that does them no favors. They never really would just stick with Cedric Mullins in the leadoff spot. I do think some of this is just bad luck, baseball gods, whatever you want to call it. But Gunnar Henderson is 26th among all major league shortstops in plate appearances with runners in scoring position. That can't happen. And so if moving him to the two hole, like, that's something they should have entertained previously, maybe bumping him back a slot or two and putting him in some of the spots O'Hearn's been in might have made more sense. But like, Gunnar Henderson this season as a shortstop with runners in scoring position, 294, 333, 559 slash line. That's an 892 OPS. That's elevation. It's not like he can't do it. He's not getting the opportunities. He's top five major league shortstop in OPS with runners in scoring position. With runners on base, he's got an 850 OPS. That's seventh among all major league shortstops. The problem is he's 22nd in plate appearances with runners on base. So I look at this and I immediately start thinking, this is the trickle-down effect of them shoving that Adley Rutschman thing down our throats and down this team's throat for 2 months of the season while he was an abject failure. And it goes back to last year. So, like, I look at the roster construction and I look at the lineup construction. And if I'm sitting there in the warehouse, I'm saying, hey, Mike Elias, how is he seventh on our team in plate appearances with runners in scoring position more than a third of the way through the season? What are you doing to combat that? What have you done to combat that?
Clearly nothing.
Because he's crushing it when he gets the opportunities.
But I will say, in terms of, and that's a joke, the fact that he has that little amount of plate opportunities or plate appearances, but controlling what you can control, why is the power down some? And the launch angle sweet spot, he's in the bottom second percentile there. His slug 438 is 50 points lower than 2023, his first year in the bigs. First full year.
I think he got people's attention as one of the, at that time, at this time a year ago, we're talking about him as one of the five best players on the
planet.
Absolutely. So that's going to, you're going to start to be pitched differently. When you're that guy, and then the dude who's supposed to be the A1 or the 1B to your 1A, Adley Rutschman, becomes one of the worst everyday major league hitters on the planet, then that's going to have ramifications on you. The guy who hit 44 home runs from both sides of the plate last year, they let him walk. The guy they brought him in for to replace that, O'Neill, does nothing. And he's particularly being pitched tougher by lefties.
That's where I was going to go. That's the most glaring difference from Gunnar Henderson year over year, is how he's performing against left-handed pitching. He had an 829 OPS against lefties last year. This year it's 398. 398 OPS.
Yeah, it's a problem. And, you know, again, I don't let that switch hitter leave. And I don't want to hear about what's happened in Toronto. I know what he does here. I know how comfortable he was here. I know how he hit in this ballpark, in this lineup, and you could have got him on a per year basis for less money than O'Neill. So I think losing that switch hitter has hurt their flexibility with lineup constructions, whether it's under the puppet now or whether it was under Hyde. And they're and that brings me again back to, how is he seventh on your team in plate appearances with runners in scoring position?
We're going to get into the Ravens at 2:45. Hear from Nate Wiggins, who met with the media last week. He's put on 10 pounds of muscle. What are our expectations for Nate Wiggins in year two? That's at 2:45. But coming up next, Cody Stavenhagen. He covers the Tigers for The Athletic. Did he expect this kind of leap out of Detroit? And also, Spencer Torkelson, what's been the big difference with him since he got brought back up last August? He'll tell us.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Us on the other side. Orioles completed a 4-2 West Coast road trip, and now they begin a 6-game homestand tonight. Tigers first up with a 3-game series. First game tonight at 6:35 Camden Yards. That means Baltimore baseball tonight. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken at 5:30. But joining us now to preview the series is Cody Stavenhagen, who covers the Tigers for The Athletic. And Cody, on June 10th, the Tigers have the best record in MLB. Did you expect this type of jump from the Tigers in 2025?
Definitely not, guys. I thought the Tigers would come in. I thought they would be a competitive team. But honestly, I thought they would kind of resemble last year's squad, just maybe a little bit more consistent rather than kind of the big swings. You know, I thought this was a team that would have to overachieve and really rely on pitching and defense and hope to maybe sneak its way into the playoffs in a weak AL Central. Well, instead, one, the AL Central is again competitive.
Yep.
Two, the Tigers have kind of outperformed all expectations. They are pitching well. They are playing defense well. One thing they've also done is hit the ball, hit for a little bit of power. I think that's the biggest part I wouldn't have predicted before the season. So even though I thought they were going to be a good team, I certainly did not expect them having the best record in baseball, you know, deep into June.
Something that kind of interests me about this series is people want to say that, oh, every baseball season is different. And, you know, it's such a long off season and things don't really carry over. But like it really seems to me like it has. The post Tigers chaos bullpen, Hinch pushing every right button, getting just enough clutch hitting and having, you know, winning pitching matchups time after time after time. That has carried over. And the Orioles playing horrific, fundamentally unsound baseball, not hitting in the clutch whatsoever, not bringing out the best in one another, having what seems to be a warped culture. I'll be damned if that didn't carry over as well. Just sort of your thoughts on these teams and where it kind of started to turn for them last year.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I remember going around at winter meetings this past December and kind of talking to some agents, just like, where do you guys see the Tigers? You know, where are they at in their timeline? And I had multiple people say, well, they really remind me of the Orioles. And I think there's some obvious parallels, mm-hmm. just a young core team that had to rebuild. It is interesting. I mean, I don't know. Like, the Orioles had two very successful seasons that just didn't go anywhere. But the Tigers have taken this jump. It does seem they've done a lot of things right culturally. They do play kind of a unique style with a ton of pinch hitting, with even though they're not really doing the pitching chaos. It's a kind of a different bullpen construction. They're obsessed with matchups. From my seat here in Detroit, though, I'm stunned at obviously how badly things went for the Orioles, like everyone else in the baseball world. I thought they needed to get more pitching this offseason, but I certainly, you know, with the amount of young talent there, never would have guessed things would be as bad as they are right now in Baltimore.
We're speaking to Cody Stavenhagen, who covers the Tigers for The Athletic. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Well, Cody, a year ago at this time, Spencer Torkelson was in AAA, not with the big league club. He ended up coming back up in August and really started to unlock some things and has been even better this year, leading the team in home runs, leading the team in RBIs. What has changed for Torkelson?
Yeah, it's been a pretty stark difference, and I think it's kind of the compound effect of some very small changes, you know, a slight stance adjustment. He's not as spread out with his feet. He's standing up a little taller. There's just a little, almost like a golfer's bend at the waist. Somehow those small adjustments have allowed him to now cover the whole plate in a way he was not doing before. He's on time, which is a huge thing for any hitter. One of those kind of mysteries of the game. How do you improve your timing? I don't know exactly what, but he was late a lot last year. You would see get beat. You would see him foul off middle pitches. He's on time now. He's crushing middle pitches. He's getting the velocity better. So maybe it's kind of a combination of some stance changes. You get some positive feedback. The confidence starts soaring. He's even had some rough patches. You know, he's had some times this season where the hits were not falling. The batting average isn't necessarily great. The batted ball data, still great. A lot of hard contact. And he's been able to kind of come out of these smaller funks, which tells me he's in a good place mentally.
What does it say, though, about their sort of ability to manage people, right? Not just algorithms, not just data points, but people and how much they had riding on him. And, you know, he wasn't even successful at Toledo for a while. And to be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, not just, you know, what you're talking about, stance, whatever, but so much of the game between the ears. Like, how impressed are you with their ability to sort of handle these different personalities and the different makeup of these kids to get him back doing these things again?
Yeah, it seems like that's something the Tigers prioritize. I do think A.J. Hinch has a knack for communicating with players in a very straightforward way, and it's something he prioritizes. But I also, sometimes it's hard to know. I think every organization likes to think it has a good culture, likes to think it cares about the people. I don't know exactly what it is the Tigers are doing differently that seems to work. It does seem like there's something there. It's also a testament to Torkelson himself. I don't know that everyone has the resilience to go through these kind of struggles, to be a number one pick and to get sent down. and then to think you figured it out, and then to struggle and get sent down again, and then to have Colt Keith, you know, move to first base in the offseason. The team basically tells you, hey, we believe in you. There can be a place for you, but, you know, with their actions, it seems as though they were basically prepared to move on from Spencer Torkelson if they had to. Instead, it's been the complete opposite. That's a testament to Tork. He's been through a lot. He's been through negative reactions from the fans, from us in the media, having to detail his struggles. And he's come out on the other side of it now, all of a sudden looking like he's figured it out all over again. Kind of a cool story.
Well, and the Kerry Carpenter thing interests me too, because you could say, well, obviously the way they've used him has been incredibly effective. But then there's also the side of it where if I'm Kerry Carpenter, I might be thinking, well, damn, if I played every single day, you know what I mean? If I got to hit lefties and righties with regularity, boy, I might really be able to do damage. Like, but Hinch seems to have found a way to manage that as well.
Yeah, I mean, what they do works. Kerry Carpenter, it's a small sample against left-handed pitchers, but he's also a below 200 hitter in his career against left-handed pitchers. So it's been hard to really justify. Just because you see him crush righties doesn't mean it's completely the same with a different-handed pitcher. Now, someone has told me, like, you know, it's all fun and games until these guys start hitting arbitration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do wonder if that's a little bit of a landmine for the Tigers in the next 2 years. If I'm Kerry Carpenter's agent, I'm saying you're trying to pay him like a platoon player, but we think he's more than that. Some of these other guys who are on the fringes of the roster or get sent up and down or also go through the pinch hitting. One thing about the makeup of the Tigers, it's a lot of young hitters, some other guys like Andy Abanez, who was recently sent down, some guys just kind of knowing their role, knowing that's their path to a roster spot, right? So they don't really have reason to complain. And when you have some other good players and you see the pinch hitting works, I do think there's some buy-in from the players. I think they understand it. But as they get older, as there's a little more money on the line, suddenly will they not be so understanding? I think that's an interesting thing to look out for, you know, in the next couple of years.
He's Cody Stavenhagen, covers the Tigers for The Athletic. Cody, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Thank you.
You got it. We're going to get back into the Orioles at the top of the hour. Mike Bordick will be joining us. What does Bordy think of Heston Kjerstad being sent back down? Coby Mayo, could he be soon after with some more moves? We shall see. But coming up next, Nate Wiggins. He met with the media last week after an OTA session. Talked about putting on 10 pounds, which he needed to do this offseason. And what does he need to do to take the next step in year two? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
Like, injury was my big thing last year, or just hitting the ground, like my shoulders hitting the ground. Body couldn't absorb the contact, so really it was just getting my body to physically take the contact.
That was Nate Wiggins meeting with the media after an OTA session last week, and he was asked why he put on 10 pounds, and now he weighs 185 pounds, and that was one of the biggest things that stuck out last year. Like, man, this guy's lean. He needed to put on the weight.
There was no junk in the trunk.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a trunk.
No. He needed to put on the weight, and he explained the contact, you know, hitting the ground and his shoulder. He didn't really, his body didn't handle it all that well last year.
No, and look, some of this is going to take time. He's still a really young young guy.
Not even 22?
Like, yeah, exactly. I think he needed, you know, like his... I mean, I always feel stupid talking about this stuff because look at me. But I would think the strength people were like, hey, some of these traps muscles and around your shoulders and around your neck, like we need to be bulkier there. And then he's just so, like, through his trunk, he's so spindly. I mean, like, I don't know what size, like, waist this kid pants was wearing last year, but... Like, I don't know what his waist size was. Like, was it even double digits? Like, I don't know. Like, was he wearing like size 14 pants? Like, there was not much there. So, like, yeah, in this league, at that position, yes, speed matters and twitch matters, and you don't want to sacrifice, you know, pliability and malleability and flexibility. But he needed to put on more muscle mass, I think, throughout his body.
But all in all, a successful rookie season for Nate Wiggins, and the Ravens did what they typically do for highly drafted defensive backs like they have in the past, slow played him. You saw it with Marlon Humphrey, you saw it with Kyle Hamilton, and you saw it with Nate Wiggins, where he was starting to play some serious snaps down the stretch. He had that pick six in the regular season finale against the Browns, and according to Pro Football Reference, allowed just 50% completion percentage, 66.7 passer rating. Really good stuff.
Great rookie season. Now, last year also was, there was turmoil in that room. There were turmoil with the DB coaches. There was turmoil at the safety position from personnel standpoint. But Marlon was available for seemingly every snap. Brandon Stevens did not play well, but was available all the time. Some of the depth, Jalen Armour Davis was hurt. Well, Jalen Armour Davis is always hurt, and now he's not even really a corner anymore. I guess what I'm saying is they had the luxury last year to be kind of judicious about how they brought him along, and the corner group, by and large, was incredibly healthy, incredibly available, and they had the flexibility of, you know, being able to do different things in their nickel and dime packages. I'm not sure they're going to have all those luxuries this year. I'm not sure that their top corners are all going to be that available. So he may, you know... Not that he wasn't already going to be playing more this year, but I think he had to add to his body and his frame because I don't know that they were going to be able to perfectly sort of pitch count it out like they did last year. I don't think that template was going to be replicable.
Oh, he's getting thrown into the deep end. Yeah. He's playing pretty much every single snap as long as he's
healthy. Hey, bro, you got to be built for 90%+ of the snaps every week.
But you mentioned the DB room, and it's a very young room, and Nate Wiggins was asked about it.
I feel great about it. I feel like we're going to come out fast. We're going to come out fast. We're going to come out like everybody expected us to come out.
And you can look at it multiple ways here, Jason, where the inexperience is there, where Marlon Humphrey, Chidobe Awuzie, those are the two vets. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, the safety position, you got a rookie in Starks. Hamilton's a stud, but still a young player. Wiggins entering year two. Tampa entering year two. Yeah. Rookies. It's a young room.
It is. And, you know, the fast start will be interesting because this is not going to be Buffalo with the season on the line, you know, trying to do whatever they can to score one more point than you, and Buffalo managing the clock like they did in the playoffs. This is going to be Buffalo 6 weeks to prepare for the six months to prepare for this game. Buffalo opening their final season in that stadium in the summer, probably looking to, like, throw the ball all over the place on you, right? Like, I just think the approach will be different than the uber conservative one we saw in the snow when last these teams met. I think Buffalo is going to be looking to put on a little bit more of a show, a little bit more style points. Like, let's come out and get this offense humming and let's see if these guys can keep pace with us. I don't think they're going to be trying to outgrind the Ravens like they were in the first half of the playoffs and playing keep away with the football.
Absolutely. And we heard Malachi Starks really shower Chuck Pagano with praise yesterday. Well, here's Nate Wiggins on Pagano.
The main thing he came in was focused on me about was just my press. He was like, just get my hands on, since I'm like probably one of the fastest guys. So he was like, get my hands on receivers, shoot my hands, because I can really like run in receiver in the lead. So.
Working with him with his press coverage there, Jason. But with Nate Wiggins in year two, what are you looking to see? How does he get to the next level?
Well, I think people, they were not scared to challenge him last year. And I think, again, he talked about a fast start. Well, we'll see. Because I think Josh Allen will go after him. We saw Patrick Mahomes looking for him right away last year. Now, he wasn't on the field as much as he'll be now. So I think you look at those first six games, the caliber of some of those quarterbacks, I think with the way Marlon reestablished himself last year, I think Wiggins will get opportunities to have the ball in flight around him quite a bit. Can he be a little bit more handsy? He's got to be careful about with the handsy being too handsy with that
penalties.
Press to where the penalties, right? You'd like to be around... Come down with the football a little bit more, cut down on the penalties just a little bit. And we've talked about the master tactician that Chuck Pagano is and these nuances of footwork and leverage and how your shoulders are tilted and these little things you can do with your hips and with your hands to try to create these little advantages when it comes to the area to find an edge with your technique. And that's where I think Pagano, coupled with a little bit more upper body strength, will help him with that press man.
We're going to get back into the Ravens at 3:15 during TMI. Jaire Alexander, he got released by the Packers. Would that make sense for the Ravens? And if they have one decent contract left in them, would you like to see him go that route or a different position? That's at 3:15. But coming up next, it's Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, also part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight coverage. What did Bordy think of Heston Kerstad getting sent down? Coby Mayo, should this be the time for him to get consistent run? We'll get Bordy's thoughts next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.